Hello, everyone. Welcome to another edition of the JT Fox Podcast Network. On this podcast, we've interviewed some of the biggest names like Pacino, Stallone, Schwarzenegger, literally some of the legends, Jack Nicklaus, Phil Jackson, Cole Hauser from Yellowstone, just to name a few. We've interviewed countless billionaires. Sometimes we interview very interesting people, as we did yesterday, the person who actually did the money laundering for Pablo Escobar, amongst amazing other interviews. And today I've got my CEO and Francie, who runs the whole operation and everything. And we used to do all the podcasts together. But so I get to now do the podcast and she gets the work. And now it's like I gave her a little break from the work thing as it's been a crazy busy year. And it's interesting. First of all, welcome, Francie. How are you?
I'm excited to be back. It's been a while.
Yeah, it's been a while. So let's talk about our start of the year has been absolutely horrendous, right? But we've seen this in cycles where we'll start like slow and really strong, or start really, really strong and then teeter on. There's a lot of issues. And I think coming out of the pandemic, it's been different levels, right? Us going all over the world, pivoting during the pandemic, you know, giving well over $56 million of our money, investing in people who listen to this very podcast in our shows and come to our events or virtual or live, and which is a different model. And now that, you know, there's threats of economic uncertainty, it's, and PPE money is kind of running out. The world is a very different place. So how would you describe, why do you think we've started with a lot of problems, and what are you seeing going forward?
Well, I'm hoping we started with a lot of problems because now it can only go up from here. That is the hope. I think that, you know, unfortunately, I think there's just a lot of things that we're learning lessons. And unfortunately, we had to learn them the hard way going into this year. And I think we have learned some of those lessons and are reevaluating. And like we talked about, everything kind of will be cyclical from time to time. So I'm really hoping that this extremely low means that we're working our way to a very high high. I do think in the world, there's just a lot of uncertainty. I think for 2.5 years, maybe longer, all we were talking about is like, none of this makes sense. No, the market doesn't make sense. The housing market doesn't make sense. The, you know, all of the craziness going on doesn't make sense. And we kept saying at some point, something has to change. Something has to move. The market's going to recorrect. And now I think we're entering into that correction phase. Now, how long is that going to last? I don't know. I'm not a fortune teller, but I do think we are in that correcting phase where things are kind of going to rebalance out to just normalcy. And I think there's a lot of people that forgot what a normal market looks like in the housing market, in the stock market, just across the board, what normalcy actually looks like.
So, you know, it's interesting because I take a look at one of the richest men in India now. There's allegations that maybe he's not worth what he's worth. And you have all these shell companies. We saw what happened with FTX. I think the world in itself, in business, I think it's harder than ever for people to get into business because nobody knows what's real anymore. And I think customers are jaded. I think everybody kind of says the same thing. And so would you like, is it easier now to do business or harder to do business right now?
I think right now it's actually become, I think it's becoming harder and harder to do business because I hate saying this, but the scammers have gotten more intelligent and are running better scams. And what I mean by that is, you know, you have all these people that are able to present themselves or their lives in a certain way, where on the surface, you would say, like, of course, like, look at this person, like, they have the money, they must be doing something right, right? Because if you look at their life on, you know, quote unquote, social media or what they're presenting to the world, they look highly successful. So people are trusting a lot more people on the surface, and not necessarily diving as deep or doing some of that due diligence. And, you know, JT, we've seen it in the past year. we've seen people that we were like, initially, like, okay, there must be something to this. I'm not really sure what's going on or where it's coming from. And then we dove deeper and started asking questions, got a lot of pushback, right? And a lot of like, why would you question? To then, you know, 6, 9 months later, have some of those people circle back to us and be like, holy crap, you were right. You were right all along. Like that individual or that opportunity was a total fugazi. But yeah. It's hard to question that to someone who doesn't see it in that moment. So it's like, you have to dive deeper and you can't take things at the surface value of what it is. You have to dive into it deeper.
Yeah. You know, I take responsibility, and I think a lot of the problems were I trusted people. And because here's the thing, loyalty, someone said this to me, quote, loyalty is not a one-way street. It's not even a two-way street. Loyalty is a busy intersection. And what happens is when people are stuck in a jam, they're going to try to get out of the path as quickly as possible to avoid the traffic or to get themselves out of the situation. And I think when things are good. But I think adversity is truly revealed when things are not good and the problems start happening. And I realized that when people, especially in a situation where they lose money or something doesn't work out in their business, very rarely do people say it's my fault. And I think that's a sign of weakness. And I think as much as we buy a lot of companies, we get involved, invest in a lot of companies, do a lot of deals, literally all over the world, is that I think we need to, you know, invest more time into figure out who these people are, what have they done, what's their track record, a lot more. And I think case in point is one of our partners like has built some of the most amazing hotels in the world. So we know like this guy is like done it. You know, another partner's had $2 billion exits. We know he's done it. Another one had an exit and sold his company for $200 million. And there's a track record there. And I think working relationship has proven that it works. And I think a lot of people are emotional. And I think I'm going to caution this. I'll make a little bit of a crazy statement. You have left-brainers and you have right-brainers. Left-brainers, analytical, overthinking, you know, the right-brainers, emotional feeling. And sometimes we tend to gravitate to the personality. So if I'm a right-brainer, I'm gravitate to a right-brainer. If I'm a left-brainer, I'm going to gravitate to a left-brainer. But I think is, and I'm a right-brainer by nature. I think people should be aware of the right-brainers because the right-brainers are so quick at putting an amazing vision, a picture of what they would be. While the left-brainers may have all their numbers and details and all the research, they're just not good at communicating their message, which is why they may not get the deal or the funding or the relationship. Would you agree with that?
Yeah,
all our problems are right brain problems, to be honest with you.
Yes, but there's a whole different set of problems with left brain problems, because I would argue it's a different type of problem. But, you know, part of the frustration you're, you know, butting your head up against with things not moving quickly, that's a left brain problem, because it's a have to overanalyze every single thing before making the decision and moving forward. So, you know, I think there's problems either way you slice it, right? There's a different set of problems, but that's why I think too, you have to understand in any scenario, you have to understand the type of person you're dealing with, how they deal with things, how they analyze things, how they move forward, how they're going to handle things, to know how you need to best set yourself up in that scenario, right? Like with a right brainer, they're going to say a lot of things, they're going to do a lot of things. And I think it's really important with someone that's more right brain to make sure you have everything very specifically laid out and documented, so that if there is an issue, if there is a challenge, it's very clear, right? It's in the paperwork. And like they say with marriages, right? You know, whether you agree or disagree with the prenup, it's like, that is the, if everything goes wrong, because nobody goes into the marriage thinking it's going to go wrong. But if it goes wrong, the prenup removes the emotion from it because it's already documented what's supposed to happen. Well, that's the same thing with your arrangements and agreements in a business setting. And especially when you're dealing with a right brain person, because when everything's great, everything's great. But when everything goes wrong, that document should be laying out, and those business agreements should lay out exactly what happens when something goes wrong. Now, on the flip of when you're dealing with a left brain individual, right, you still want those documents. So I'm not saying you don't have the documents, but you have to understand if you're an extreme right brainer and you have a lot of ideas and you move quickly, that a left brainer, you have to be able to put things in small pieces, because otherwise then they're going to overanalyze if everything's way too big. So it's got to be like, okay, let's make this one decision and move to the next step. Now this decision and move to the next step, because if it's too big of a thing, a left brain person is going to overanalyze too much. And then you're never going to get a forward, like forward progress or forward motion. So I think you have to understand of who you're working with, who you're doing business with. And when you understand who you're sitting across the table from, you can adapt. And if you, as the individual, aren't able to do that, you're going to have problems. And I think that's part of a little bit of where we're sitting in, is we have to start realizing who's the person we're doing business with. And we have to understand how we have to adapt to get the best result out of that situation. You can't always be the same JT Fox in every situation, because it will not work the same way with every single person.
Yeah, no, it's interesting. And I think one of the things we've kind of realized that people have not mastered is the art of, I think people, when they're presenting a deal or they want to give people money, they're looking at it from their view. You know, we just had a pitch just now, like 20 minutes before, and this guy created a concept and we lost money on the first one. And now he's doing another one, but then he wants, you know, to raise like $2.5 million. And he hasn't even had a proof of concept. And I think I think if people lost money on the other side of investing, maybe they'd have a different perspective, right? And I think just people think about, oh, I have a great idea. Like, everyone's in love with their idea. And I think that's a big mistake in business. You can't fall in love with your idea. And sometimes what I've realized is that you may like the person, you may be friends with the person, but it doesn't mean that they're good at business. And I think people like me, sometimes we want to do business with our friends and people that we know because we like and have a relationship with, because it's easier because there's no time to have friends. And be like, hey, I'm doing business, can you come out here? And like, I'm busy. Or like, but if I'm going to be hanging out with someone and doing business, it's two birds with one stone. But at the end of the day, I think sometimes that's forcing the situation which may not work out. And when there's problems, and there's differences that you know friends, but you never really know them until you do business with them. And when things go wrong, right? And when things go good, it's all great. It's all amazing, right? But what happens when things go wrong, right? Deals don't make money, or opportunities, you know, didn't work out, or issues happen, you know, how will they be? And sometimes as a friend, I'd be like, hey, you know, this was a problem. You know, you're my friend, I'm going to fix it or whatever. But I think there becomes an issue. And then when it doesn't work out and the friendship goes, was it ever really a friendship? That's another thing you need to ask you. What's a level different of friendship, you know? And so, I don't know. It's something to me that we go in there. Thoughts?
Well, that's why people say you can't do business with friends and you can't do business with family.
Yeah. But we always look for the exception. We'll be like, oh, this is different, but it's not different.
It's not, and it won't be, because it doesn't matter how great of a friendship that is. It will end up ruining. I mean, when I, in my earlier years of working with you, so probably in the first like 3 to 4 years of this now 10 years we've been working together, a friend of mine, we had a really good idea for this like business brand we were going to launch. And like, it wasn't necessarily something that I was looking at of like, this is going to make a huge, like a bunch of money, but it's going to kind of be a passion project. My friend wasn't working at the time. She was in between jobs. So it was kind of something to help give her like a focus of like something to do and whatever the case may be. So we started doing, we started working on stuff together. Obviously I was working like full-time and busy and started doing some traveling and stuff like that with work. And it got to a point where obviously she was doing more of the work because she didn't have a job at the time than I was. And we were splitting the cost, but I wasn't working as much. And I could tell it was starting to put a strain on our friendship. So I had to take kind of, in that moment, I had to kind of decide, is this you know, business idea worth potentially losing our friendship, or is the friendship more important to me? And, you know, with this particular person, the friendship was more important to me. So I ended up just saying, you know what? You have done way more of the work. We've split the cost so far 50-50. It is fine. You keep the brand, you keep it all. I like, this can be your thing. You move forward. I will support it as a friend. You don't owe me anything for anything that I've spent, but like, I'm here to support you. And, you know, this is 100% yours moving forward. And our friendship was fine. The business went nowhere, right? But I knew had we stayed in that, it was going to implode our friendship. So I think you just have to decide sometimes which one's more important, the business or the friendship.
Yep. No, well, it's a very interesting component, because I don't know, there's a lot of lessons, obviously. And I think, you know, as you navigate this, and there's no books on this, you can have a lot of discussions. And I think a wise man learns from his mistakes while a genius learns from other people's mistakes. So hopefully people listen to this and it puts into thought into what we said here, and so that they can truly, you know, master this idea of, you know, what moves to make and not be naive, and also, or not be overly skeptical where you don't do anything as well. So that's the.
Well, you got to think about. You got to think about who you're doing business with, right? And do you want to be stuck with them for the next 5, 10, 15 years forever? And you got to think about, if you don't, how are you going to get out of it? And if you're having initial doubts or problems, they will only get worse. It's just like a regular relationship, right? In the very beginning, if something's off, it's only going to get worse the longer you're with someone. And in business, it gets even worse, because the more successful and the more money that there is at risk, the more potential problems there are down the road.
Absolutely true. All right, well, everybody, that's, I think, the lesson. And obviously, if you want to do business with us, if you want us to fund your deals, or you want to network with some of the billionaires and 9- and 8-7-figure community we put together, where we do deals, you pitch deals, whether you want to learn from us, or you want to do business with one of our partners, Billionaire Freds, and get to know him as well, or attend our vast network of virtual free events that we have, or you want to have a one-on-one meeting with me, just click the link below here in the comments as well. We appreciate every single one of them. You have nothing to lose, but your network equals your net worth. So check out the link below. Thank you so much, Francis, for being here. And we'll see everybody. We'll try to do more podcasts. I was very bad, but I was traveling literally all over the world. Australia 2 days, and Germany 2 days, and Paris half a day, London half a day. So it was all over. Back into the routine of things as well. And please make sure that you share this podcast. It helps us out to get more. So the more people share, and if you're listening to this on Apple, if you can give it a 5-star, as well on Spotify, if you can rate it, we would appreciate it. It would mean the world. It takes 2 seconds, but it would mean the world to us as well. So check out the link in our comment section. We'll see you next time.